This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We just went through some coaching news in the football department, Wes. We talked about home cooking when it comes to hoops. Yeah. And last night, the home teams went a 3-0 mark. That has not happened a whole lot lately, but three terrific, close, tight games. Home teams take care of business.
Yeah, everything was five or less last night, including in South Bend, the late night game. If you went to bed early, you missed a rally to the finish. North Carolina trailed by as many as 10 in the second half, got it back to a one-possession game, could never really get over the hump, though, against Notre Dame, who posted the win 78-73. Nate Leshefsky, you see 6 of 7 from three. Here's one, catch and shoot, bang. Leshefsky had 20 with 8 rebounds. Another catch and shoot three for the big man from Jupiter, Florida. Dane Goodwin had 17, Cormac Ryan 11. The freshman Blake Wesley, 18 last night for Mike Bray's Irish, who were in Atlanta on Saturday night at 6 o'clock against Georgia Tech. Notre Dame shot 48% from the floor, made 13 of 31 from behind the line, and only had 7 turnovers, Mark, in the ballgame.
Thought that was the key. When they make threes, they're dangerous. Mm. And when they make threes and don't turn it over, they're really tough to beat at home. But for North Carolina, yep, like I said, the flip side, you know, Hubert and the boys are trying to win their third road game. And I tell you, if you can steal on the road, it will come back to help you. Now North Carolina's got to take it back home to Chapel Hill, where they take on Virginia, a team that has beaten them 7 consecutive times. And the Hoos have figured out that road combination. Fresh off wins at Syracuse, fresh off wins at Clemson. They're going to try to make it 3 straight on the road when they go to North Carolina Saturday. So a lot going on this week. Yeah. The schedule Saturday is really, really good. It's going to be fun.
Yep. Armando Bacot, by the way, 21 with a career-high 17 rebounds last night for Carolina in the win. R.J. Davis, 19. Caleb Love, 15. Carolina shot 49%. I'm sure Hubert Davis after the game was not about what they were doing offensively. It was more about the other end of the floor. And unfortunately for Carolina, you can pinpoint now their wins and their losses based on what happens at the defensive end of the floor. So,
but Notre Dame was
tough loss for the Tar Heels.
Yeah, but Notre Dame, again, we keep talking about, mm-hmm, can teams string together wins? Keep an eye on the, yep, Irish, right? I know you got them coming up on this weekend. You're doing the game. But if you're Mike Bray, you know, you've got a quality win against Kentucky on your resume. You're now starting to see your old team make shots. That rally the other night at Pittsburgh, really critical from a momentum standpoint, that carried over last night. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on the Irish. That might be one of those teams that gets on a pretty good run here. But they'll be tested this weekend.
All right, let's go to Derby City, where Louisville stayed undefeated in ACC play. They beat Pittsburgh 75-72, but this ball game was so bizarre. It's like Rod Serling was announcing the game with Mike Cousins. We had technical fouls all over the place to start the game, and then we settled in and had a game, and then technical fouls at the end of the game. But along the way, L. Ellis poured in 18 off the bench for Chris Mack. He had 7 straight during a late run that gave him a 2-possession advantage. Louisville wins 75-72. John Hughley, Javarius Burton played well for Pittsburgh, who, by the way, got Ithiel Horton back last night, two-pack. Did you notice that? He played some minutes last night. First time we'd seen Horton this year after an off-the-floor situation kept him away from the team for the balance of November and December. But, you know, heck of a ball game, but these technical fouls, holy cow, ended up being somewhere 8-9 of them total, I guess, at the end of the night. Malik Williams got a shower early after he fouled out and got a technical foul. John Hughley got one early. Both benches were assessed a couple technical fouls. It was crazy. But nonetheless, Louisville posted a 3-point win at Yum Center.
And two teams who have just been polar opposites in tight games. Louisville, all four of their conference wins, and keep in mind they're 4-0 in the league, all by 5 points or less. And Pittsburgh here, especially of late, really should have won the game at Virginia. Somehow let that thing get away from them. Last night had a chance late to win that game. They had Notre Dame down 8 with about 8-10 minutes to go in the game at home. Didn't get the job done. They've lost so many tight games, Wes, that sometimes that kind of builds up on you. But, man, that maybe that's why there was a little little edginess to them. But Louisville finds ways to win close games this weekend. Louisville on the road at Florida State. The Noles fresh off of getting waxed by Wake Forest. Another intriguing game this weekend. That Saturday slate, like I said, is loaded with a bunch of good games.
Well, I shared this with you guys last night. Jared Benson, who handles stats and information for ESPN, said Pitt's last five losses, by three to Louisville, one to Notre Dame, four to Monmouth, one to Virginia, and one to Minnesota. They're the first team this season to have a span of five losses come by a combined 10 or less. Now, that is frightening, Pack.
Well, if you're Jeff Capel, that keeps you up at night, right? One play here, one shot here, one defensive stops, the difference between being in a pretty good spot or sitting there with a zero. And that's tough to stomach. It really is, especially given the unrest that they've had with their lineup, and getting Horton back certainly will be helpful down the road. But, you know, Pitt's been Pitt has battled everybody. So when you look at the standings, you go, oh, man, we got Pitt this week. That's an easy win. No, it won't be any. There's nothing easy about playing Pitt. And Louisville found that out last night.
Yeah. Miami a winner, 88-87 over Syracuse. Tale of two halves at Coral Gables last night, Mark.
No doubt. I mean, Syracuse in the first half, they got an 18-point lead. They're making shots. Miami couldn't throw it in the Atlantic. And you're thinking, all right, here's Cuse bouncing back after a tough loss at home to Virginia. But, man, this Miami crew now, I'm telling you, you like guard play, they've got it. McGusty, Wong, Moore, last night combined for 58. And they make six straight threes right out of the gate in the second half. Man, they went from 18 to a positive lead for Miami in about 2 seconds. And they go on to win the game by one. And, oh, Jim Larrañaga's guys, man, they're balling. And they, like Louisville, have a zero in the loss column. And you start talking about games this weekend, we've got it for you right here on ACC Network. Miami at Cameron Indoor to take on Duke. Yep. Again, Saturday is a terrific basketball day.
Sure is. Orange hit nine threes, but had a bunch of turnovers. They were nine threes in the first half, 17 to 32 for the ball game, but 19 turnovers, Mark. Most of them in the second half when the lead started to get fractured away by Miami. So combine the defensive woes, then with the turnover situation, and all of a sudden you're just giving Miami a bunch of free possessions in the ball game. And all honesty, if you're not defending, that's how those leads go like that.
Well, that's exactly right. And here's the other thing for Syracuse. We talk about their scores. They had three guys last night score over 20, but none of them were named Boeheim. None of them. It's a team that can light up a scoreboard, but defensively, they've got to get better ASAP.
Yep. Real quick, here's accounting. It's not pretty, but it is what it is. You know my story. I only give you 15. I just stay to the membership, folks. I'm not investing in any kind of, you know, foreign affairs or anything like that like my partner does. I'm just
boring.
Giving you a straight scoop here.
Boring.
Yeah, very, very boring and sometimes controversial because, quite frankly, there's some government paperwork errors that take place and things like that. But I gave you Duke at one, and that's no surprise. Kept Louisville and Miami right up there behind them. Notre Dame, Virginia, Carolina, Wake, Syracuse. Pushed BC up. They got a conference win. Beat Notre Dame by nearly 20. I know, December it was. Clemson drops after the loss to Virginia at home. Florida State down. NC State down. Virginia Tech's down. Pitt went up because Georgia Tech's just not been very good. And Jackets get the Irish on Saturday night in Atlanta. So there you go, Pac.
Yeah, like I said, I thought you might have changed your Boston College number from earlier today, but I guess not. Here's your Sweet 16.
Not yet.
You notice the consistency at the top. Duke stays where they are. Miami stays where they are. Louisville stays where they are. Virginia's the big winner. Yep. Like I said, you go win on the road at Syracuse, you win at Clemson, you're going to get some serious love, especially in this year's ACC. The Swiss drop one, still like what they did with the comeback against Florida State, wore them out. Notre Dame last night, that's why you got the bump. North Carolina stays where they are. Clemson drops. Florida State, a big game this weekend with Louisville coming up. NC State gets some love. You win at Blacksburg, you get a bump. The Boeheims drop. Virginia Tech, you really dropped. BC drops. The defenders dropped, and Pitt stays right where they are. And 16, the mighty Sweet 16 spot. Oh, Novak having quite an Australian vacation. I know it's got nothing to do with basketball, but the Sweet 16 spot really doesn't have anything to do with anything. You can put anything you want there at the 16 spot. So there you have it. Sweet 16.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I love the fact that Wake Forest is having fun, man. Stop. You know, the team's playing that way. They're thinking out of the box. They got the giant top hat over there in the stadium. Got the Christmas lights, the cool giveaways. We got the motorcycle. We got the coach doing a little midnight rambler, a little midnight rider, Brent Pry style. I'm all for it. I think they're having a good time doing it. I'm all for it. People having a good time with it, man. Good for them.
Well, you want fun, you get Steve Forbes. You want wins, you go get Jake LaRavia. And the Deacon Forward joins us here from Winston-Salem this morning on Packer and Durham. Jake, first of all, welcome. Great to have you with us. 22 the other night, you guys made it look easy against Florida State. Take us through the win the other night for starters, then we'll get to the rest of your story.
I mean, it was a big-time win for us. It was much needed after the two losses to Louisville and Miami. But I think the main thing that we focused on was defense. We had switched to, you know, we started icing ball screens, and that, I think that really helped us. And, you know, Scout was focused on a lot on defense, and I think we just, you know, we got connected together, and, you know, we started playing more together on defense.
All right, let's get to the nonsense. Would you get on that motorcycle with Coach? I mean, if you're stranded on I-40 and that dude rolled up in the motorcycle and said, "Hey, man, I'll give you a ride," are you hopping on the back of Forbes on that or not? Yes or no on that one?
Nah, I don't know if I could. I feel like he's a wild rider. I don't know if I could do that.
Okay. Would you trust that man?
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. When you go into the portal, right, and you're going to transfer from Indiana State, and you get this visit or you get this contact once you get into the portal, and here's Steve Forbes, who's building this thing in Winston-Salem. I mean, take me through this process, because you're a perfect fit for what he wants to do. And I said it on the air when I had you guys in the ACC Big Ten Challenge against Northwestern. I really think you and Alondis and Dallas are kind of a trio of fit for what he wants. What was it about, you know, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this move from Terre Haute. I'm going to go play in Winston-Salem. I want to play in the ACC. But what was it about Forbes, man?
I mean, well, really, I had never even really heard of Wake Forest. So it was all kind of new to me at first. I really went through my old head coach at Indiana State, Coach Lansing, and he kind of just helped me out throughout the whole process. He knew Forbes, he knew Woodley, and he just kind of thought that it was the best fit for me, and I went ahead with it. I got on a couple Zoom calls with the coaches, and we just made it happen.
So what's it like going from Larry Birdland down here to the ACC, based on what you thought it might be versus what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, high major is definitely a lot different than mid major. There's a lot of pluses that you get when you go high major. But I mean, other than that, it's really the same. Basketball is basketball to me. As far as on the court stuff, the biggest changes are really off the court. But you know, I'm playing with a great team this year, so I'm super excited.
All right, but Jake, you say changes are off the court, and I think people who follow basketball in the ACC are spoiled. But I know what you're talking about because I've seen enough mid-major programs. So in terms of just different day-to-day for you, what's different about being in the ACC than, by the way, a really good program in the Missouri Valley at Indiana State? I mean, so what's the biggest difference for you day-to-day now that maybe you didn't have a year ago?
I'd probably just say, like, facilities. There's a lot, you know, wider variety of things that I can use here when I'm not playing basketball. You know, as far as, you know, the training room, we got, you know, cold tub, hot tub that we can use, just anything like that. And then just the actual facilities are, you know, a lot nicer.
All right, so you got Syracuse coming to town this week. I mentioned to you before we brought you on, I thought it was important for your team to bounce back with Florida State. You know, winning on the road in any league is tough. Winning at Louisville, difficult. Miami, difficult. They have yet to lose a conference game. And then you have Florida State that's always athletic, always talented, and coming off a road win. And you guys waxed them, which tells me that you guys are dialed in. Now, here comes Syracuse, right? They blow a big lead last night. You know they're ticked off. They're on a losing streak. They got to find a win. It becomes dangerous, but you know you're going to see this 2-3 zone, right? It's the old Jim Boeheim deal. So what about the anticipation of seeing a national name like Syracuse coming to your hometown this week in Winston-Salem?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's going to be another big game for us, another game that we have to win. I mean, we're gonna watch film today. We're gonna watch film tomorrow. We're gonna get ready to play them.
All right. Now, 22 the other night against Florida State, 19 against Miami, 15 against Louisville. You talk about going from mid-major to high major. The competition level certainly changes too. But yet, you're continuing to have success here.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think basketball is basketball at the end of the day. These people tie their shoes the same way I do, and you know that's my mindset when I go out on the court. So,
you mean the goal's not shorter in Indiana State? It's still 10 feet. I mean, is that what you're telling me? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
The object of the game is still the exact same: play good defense, make shots, don't turn it over. That's the way it works, right? It's the deal. By the way, we've had a good time with your coach, and you talked about the recruiting process. Is he as colorful away from the court as we would expect based on what we see on the court?
Definitely. Super, super great guy off the court. I really never met a coach like him, you know, as far as personality goes. He's, you know, he can get mad sometimes, and, you know, that's how all coaches are, but he's a super good dude.
I tell you, the other thing, Jake, I go back to the fit for you and Alondis and Dallas, and I'll even throw like Cam Hildreth into that mix as well. I mean, you guys have come together in a way that I think it surprised me. I mean, I knew individual pieces here, but Corey Alexander and I were talking about it the other night before we did Georgia Tech at Duke. The fits that you guys provide, how have you and Alondis and Dallas and Hildreth for that matter and others blended with guys like Davian and Isaiah and guys that were there who were going to be counted on? That's not an easy process, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think the coaches made it really easy on us, just the way that they run offense. I know they changed it since, you know, what they ran last year, but I think that was the easiest part to fit in was, you know, they kind of just changed the way that they played offense because of the way, you know, that they recruited and the players that they were getting. And then obviously the players from last year, D. Will and Zay, made it super easy on us because, you know, they accepted us as soon as we got here, and they just wanted to win games, and, you know, we made it happen.
What do you miss most about Indiana? Food?
I mean, I would say the weather, but it is pretty bad here too, so.
Yeah, well, we're just trying to make you feel at home, Jake. That's the deal. We're giving you this cold front. We're just trying to make you feel like, hey, you know what? You're part of it. But you know, food. Listen. Indiana's a great, not good, great basketball state. The folks here in the state of North Carolina consider this a great basketball state, and it is. There's always been a lot of, to me, similar parallels between high school and college, and even pro. Basketball in the states of Indiana and North Carolina. So I'm just curious, making that transition from Indiana State to Wake Forest, what you miss the most other than the weather? Is there, you know, you tell me, you're the one living it.
I mean, I was closer to home when I was at Indiana State, and now I'm a lot farther away, so, you know, I can't go back as much. But other than that, you know, there's really not much to miss. I mean, I'm living life out here. We're playing really good basketball right now, and, you know, there's not much to miss.
All right, so let me just follow up on that. So you're close to home, which means, hey, Mom, I need some good home cooking, right? I mean, that's always been part of the deal,
there
right?
Goes.
Am I reading that right? Okay.
Of course.
So what have you found? Because Winston-Salem is my hometown. So what do you need in Winston to make life feel a little easier? Because I might be able to help you out here. What are you looking for that you haven't found yet in Winston-Salem?
I mean, I love Mexican food, and, you know, my mom was really good at cooking it.
Mexican.
So, you know, whenever we had taco night, I was super excited.
All right, so taco night was the big deal, right? So we got to work on. I'm gonna put this out there for everybody on social media. to help Jake LaRavia. We're looking for a good Mexican joint in Winston-Salem. All right? That's what we're looking for. Because I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. So we're going to help you out on this, Jake. All right? Because we need to make you feel like you're right at home. Because believe me, in about a month and a half, you're going to realize the weather here is so much better than Indiana. It's not even close. You're going to be all right.
Jake, when you go to places like Louisville, and I know that's closer to home than most ACC venues, so that's a good thing. But yet you're going into bigger buildings. And we were just talking to Kelly Gramlich about the women's card in the ACC, and you go to certain buildings, and they're bigger buildings in the environment. And I know Indiana State played some bye games when you were with the Sycamores. What's it been like to go into Louisville? What's it been like to, you know, go on the road to Miami? I know that wasn't a great crowd per se. And then I know you still got road trips left in the ACC as well. So what do you think what's that experience been like for you?
I mean, I think that's the best part, being able to go play in, like, you know, known gyms around, you know, the country. Playing in big gyms, you know, lots of crowds. I mean, freshman year, I actually did play at Louisville. That was one of our bye games when I played at Indiana State. So I played in that gym already, and I knew that they had got a crowd. But I love playing in front of big crowds. I think the bigger the crowd, the better it is.
All right, before I let you go, our traditional question, and since you're kind of a newbie there in Winston-Salem, this will be an intriguing answer. Since you've been at Wake Forest, Jake, what has been your hardest class?
Ooh.
There is time limit.
Probably Spanish.
Spanish.
Yeah.
All right.
It comes back again, Pac.
No, well, that's normally the University of Louisville has coined that Spanish is. I mean, they've cornered the market on Spanish classes. So that's a newbie. That's the first time we've had that answer from a Wake Forest student athlete. So, Jake, here's the deal. The ball is in our court to find you terrific Mexican food
Taco night
in Winston-Salem, right? I know you love Taco Night at home, but that's our goal. We'll get that answer back to you at some point in time, all right?
All right, sounds good.
You got it, man. Stay healthy.
Thanks, Jake.
Wish
good luck.
Best.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
We now bring on the head basketball coach of NC State. That'd be Kevin Keats. And again, if you're only as good as your last game, life is pretty good in Raleigh. Coach, happy new year. Life is good. And I'll tell you what, your team played awfully well in Blacksburg the other night.
Happy New Year's, guys, and it is a good day in Raleigh. You know this. You guys have been around this business long enough. A win can make everyone smile, and so everybody's smiling around here right now.
Any truth to the rumor that part of the fuel for your team to post the win in Blacksburg was last week's edition of Accounting from Mark Packer?
Well, I was a little surprised because Packer's always defended Kevin Keats.
That's true.
And that's usually something, Wes, that you would do. And, you know, I told my team, I said, man, the guy who's usually been, you know, one of our biggest fans has us picked next to last. And I get it. Packer, he looked at it. He said, look, these guys are playing well, but they just don't have a win. And so I got to motivate him. So he was part of our coaching staff. We talked about it. Packer, what you don't know, Wes, me and Packer had a side conversation about this thing. And I asked him, I said, pick us next to last and it'll help us win a game. And so it happened.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You know, it's all that, you know, Nick Saban's always talking about that rat poison and all that stuff. Coaches, listen, they pay attention. And, you know, sometimes you need to use the media to your advantage. You know, a lot of times everybody thinks they're out to get you. We're not out to get anybody. You know what? But if you can use the media to your advantage, you use it. And so I am glad it worked out for you. But you know what? When you're playing Virginia Tech, quite frankly, somebody needed a W, Coach. That was one of those desperation games, I think, on both sides, which I found that your effort was so good. It was such a streaky game, man. Holy mackerel. I mean, you got the double-digit lead. They go score 17 in a row. You score 13 in a row. They score 9 in a row. That game had crazy, crazy momentum swings.
Yeah, you know what? It was a ping pong game. You knew this, and we knew going into the game, neither one of us had won a conference game. And, you know, we had to figure it out. I, with our guys, we've been so close. We've got a very young bunch that we're putting out there, and we just, quite frankly, hadn't finished games and hadn't been solid on the defensive end. And I thought this was our best defensive game. We did a tremendous job of finishing the game. And give Virginia Tech a lot of credit. Those guys fought back. It was a game of swings, a game of runs, and our guys just found a way to win, and so proud that we got out of there with a great win.
Kevin, let's get to the element here of Darion Sebron. I mean, Mark and I continue. We come off of almost every game going, well, here's Sebron with another 20-plus and a, 9, 10, 11 rebound ball game. I'm curious from your standpoint, how much of what he's doing was predicated, was going to happen before or if Manny Bates got hurt, and how much after Manny Bates got hurt for your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Wes, is that last year we saw a little snapshot of what he could be. And two games mm-hmm. that really stand out to me was at Notre Dame and at Wake Forest. Yep. Unfortunate, because of Devin's injury, we inserted him into the lineup, and he became a really good basketball player. But he's also stepped it up a lot because of the fact that Manny's not there. And so when you look at our team, we don't get a lot of back-to-the-basket points. Our production, our paint touches, our baskets inside are coming from Sebron driving to the basket. And so he's been not just good for us, he's been great for us on the year. He's been active. He's becoming a heck of a player. We're moving him around, and we're playing him at a little bit of every guard spot, and he's been so important for us. And I think one of the biggest things that's helped him is he was doing some of those things last year. The weight room has really improved his ability to finish around the rim.
Coach, I mentioned to Wes the other day, Sebron's worth the price of admission. If you guys are on the road, man, you got to go watch this dude play. He attacks the basket, and I kind of nicknamed like Plastic Man. I've never seen a guy of his size that just goes winding through people and just gets to the rim, and he can just flat out finish. And even like the rebounding the other night at Virginia Tech, you guys did a great job on the glass. But Sebron is so explosive, and he can still beat you from 18 feet and all that stuff. But man, when he goes to the rim, it doesn't seem to matter who is between him and the basket. He's going to get to the rim and score. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's one of the fastest guys that I've ever coached with the ball in his hand. And, we practice those moves now. Though he didn't get them on his own. When he gets to the rim, we tell him just to, create, throw up. What I did was I took him way back to my Heritage High School days from Lynchburg, Virginia.
Oh, no.
And showed him showed him how I played.
No.
We're Virginia guys, and so we play a lot alike. The only difference, he's a little bit more athletic than I am.
A little? Just that much? Is that it? Just that much?
Hey, just a little bit, guys.
You got to stay humble. You just got to stay humble. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, two other pieces to this puzzle for you, so to speak. Terquavion Smith's been everything you told us in Charlotte he would be. Okay. He's a moving bucket. He gets his shot in the offense. He can create his own shot. Offensively, he's going to be tremendous. Where is he at the rest of his game in your mind at this juncture? I mean, getting into the conference, and we've talked about it. When you go from non-conference to conference, there's going to be some transition no matter who you've played. Where do you think Smith is as his rookie year continues to move on?
Wes, when we got this young man, he committed to us as a sophomore, and no one knew how good he was. I think he was maybe 135 pounds. And, he just grew and he just got better. 3 years later, he's won 3 state championships. He just knows how to play. He has no conscience. If he missed the first 3 shots, I think one of those games he missed the first 3 and then he made 7 threes in the game. He's like every freshman. They don't know what they don't know. I think his biggest jump is obviously getting stronger, but also being more solid on the defensive end. Once he become a very solid defensive player, he has a chance to be an all-league guy. But, you think about this. When you watch his play, if you didn't know that he was a freshman, you know, you would say, man, this kid, this sophomore, this junior is a very good basketball player.
Right.
And, you know, he believes in himself, and that's one thing you got to know about him. You know, not only is he playing well, he's speaking in huddles, he's talking, and he's not a normal freshman. And so I love what he's bringing to our team and the energy that he brings to us.
All right, second part of that question is Ernest Ross. We saw the Duncan transition the other night. I know the minutes have been kind of developing. Is that part of the solution for you in terms of your interior play and getting some of that back-to-the-basket stuff down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. What happened, as you guys know this, is, you know, we've got a really elite player in Manny Bates, you know, tremendous. Mm-hmm. And because he's not in our system and he's out for the year, we've been searching. And, you know, obviously, E.B. DeWanna has done a great job, you know, filling in, especially on the defensive end. We don't really have a lot of offensive stuff for him right now. But we've also been searching for another guy that can help inside. And, man, Ernest has had about a week and a half of really good practice. He's long. He's athletic. He can make shots. Mm-hmm. You know, he's talented. You know, when you look at him, he's one of the most talented guys that we've recruited here. He was a top 50 guy coming out of high school. And I do think his minutes will grow. I do think he'll get better. You know, what he did in the Virginia Tech game, he was solid, wasn't great, but he got out and ran. He rebounded the basketball. He did some great things for our program, and then we certainly need him to continue to grow to help us inside.
Tell you one thing, that dunk, he took off right about in front of you, and then the rim got in the way. I mean, that was explosive. That was a SportsCenter top 10 deal is what that was. By the way, since you finally figured out Virginia Tech, what'd you do for the ice cream? You had to do some work there.
Man.
What'd you do with the ice cream?
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I thought about this, and this was crazy. I was like, we haven't had ice cream in a while, so I surprised myself. You know, first of all, I'm going into the locker room. You know, it's your first win. It's a quad one win against a very good Virginia Tech team, and, you know, I'm coming in the locker room, and I'm jumping up and down pack. I'm just going crazy. I'm like, man, this is great. Our team finally finished the game. Then we got to the end of the game, and I almost forgot to tell those guys, like, hey, we're going for ice cream. And so my ice cream guy, my assistant Dobo, Chris Zepko, he took the bus. He went. He found, believe it or not, he found an NC State alumnus in Blacksburg, and we got ice cream, and he brought it back to the arena, and we all had great ice cream. And, you know, we all picked up about 2 pounds from that. We gave to Quavion Smith, we gave him 3 different types of ice cream so he could gain some weight.
I want to follow up one thing. You know, we started this interview with accounting, and I had you 14th last week. You know, we just unveiled this week's accounting, Coach, and I bumped you up 4 spots to number 10, all right? I'm just giving you a little more incentive. I got Clemson 8. So I know you get the Tigers this weekend. My partner's got you 12th. So you're going to have to use the West Durham numbers this week for incentive. I'm just telling you, giving you a heads up.
Well, you know, Wes and I did talk a little bit yesterday, and I begged him. I said, please don't put us any more than 12. I said, if you're going to reward us, we don't want to be into the single digits. And so you guys, I've got you you know, you're on my on the board for the kids to see.
Right. No,
not the radar.
Yeah.
I'm telling those guys every week. I said, these guys are the gurus. They know who's going to win this game.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, listen, hey, so right now, let me make sure I'm understanding that we're at 10 and 12. I'm okay with
That's it.
We'll get better. We'll work. I will say this about both of you guys. Early in the year, you had us at 3. I did watch that. Somewhere, and you may not believe you did, but you did. But we'll get better. We'll continue to work on stuff.
That's it. So, and you know what?
All right,
so will we, Coach. So will we.
Yes.
We'll work to get better. We'll have to.
That's by the way, Kevin, that's the first time anybody's ever referred to me in my life as a guru. But we'll move on. Here's the other thing about Saturday. State and Clemson tend to bring out the best in one another. They also bring out the land of the bizarre in one another. You know this game is going to be determined in the last possession on Saturday, don't you? I mean, you know today it's a last possession game.
It's been a last possession game probably our last three games. And, you know, I the one that stands out for me, obviously you try to remember the ones that was the best one is the one here when Braxton Beverly hit that big shot to win the game. And, you know, it's always, you know, Brad's done a good job at Clemson. You know, we've had some classic games. This one will probably be another classic game. So we probably, Brad and I probably should get together and say forget the first 38 minutes of the game. Just put 2 minutes on the clock and just play.
Yeah, but you know what? If you did that, it'll turn into Nebraska, and four overtimes later, you'll get your 2 hours in. That's normally how that works, right? That game, by the way, we didn't even talk to you about that. That game was drunk, Coach. That game was ridiculous. That was nuts.
That was the – I've been in one game longer than that. When I was assistant at Louisville, we played a five-overtime game at Notre Dame. And other than that, you know, when that Nebraska game ended, I thought we had played 4 hours of basketball. It was that long. And, you know, it was incredible. And fortunate for us, we came out with a great win in that.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I want to follow up, with you on the – well, go ahead, Wes. I guess I got one more question for Coach.
All right. I was going to say, in some ways, you found out a lot that night, though, against Nebraska. You found out a lot about kind of, number one, where your depth was, I granted early in the year, but you also saw how, and if I remember correctly, Darion played the last two overtimes with four fouls, Kevin? I mean, that's pretty strong.
I thought we developed an identity in that game. You know, obviously, we were still searching. It's still early in the year, trying to figure out how to play without Manny. And, you know, so far, identity has been, you know, Sebron's had a great year. Jericho has had a really good year as a senior. And then our freshman, Taquavion Smith, we learned a lot about him. But it was eye-opening. It was, you know, I think Sebron's minutes was incredible. One of those guys, I think it was Sebron, played 56 minutes in the game. And that was incredible. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we did learn a lot, Wes. And, you know, I don't want to go through a lot of those four overtimes, but I'll take it if we come out on the winning side.
That's it. You take the W every day of the week. All right, before we let you go, this has been our latest question to all the coaches in the league. For you, Kevin Keats, what is your ultimate walk-up song? What's the music? What's the go-to song? Game day, in life, whatever the case may be. You tell us.
That's a great question, and I wish I knew that before because I haven't listened to your interview a lot of people. But I'm going to go old school, and I'm going to say Basketball by Curtis Blow. Oh, you remember that?
Cool.
Did either one of you guys remember that?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Nobody's answered
Basketball,
it, though.
Hey.
Nobody's answering.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. See, you guys got to.
Down the court.
I got to get you guys locked into some Curtis Blow. I want you to go back and look up, and I want you to play that song. That's the song I think is appropriate for starting a game when you walk up.
Yep. You know, because we are compiling quite an interesting list of musical selections from all ACC coaches. And I think hopefully that we're able to incorporate this. Like the next time you're on, maybe we lead in with that just to really get you fired up before the next interview. So that's kind of what we're
there you go.
What we're searching for here.
And I want you guys to put that in your phone. I want you to listen to it today. And I want somebody to send me a text and say, hey, I listened to it. That's a great song.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, stay healthy, man.
Good luck Saturday. Thanks as always. Great to see you.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The dogs are awake. I sense at the end of the show here. So Fuller has gone into the, all right, enough of this nonsense. It's time to go outside routine. So we've got about seven solid minutes left, Wes. And then we got to move. We got to make a move. There
all
we
right.
Go.
7 years ago tonight. 7 years ago tonight, the Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California. We staged an American sports, the final bowl championship series national title game between Auburn and Florida State. And the Noles won the game 34-31 on a Jameis Winston to Kelvin Benjamin throw.
And I was standing in the end zone about 25 feet from that catch, and it was some kind of football game, man. Auburn had him on the ropes early. Jimbo Fisher's guys bounced back, kickoff return. I mean, that game had a little bit of everything. And like you said, we ushered out the BCS era, and the next year the college football playoff era begun. But, man, what a team, what a year, what a ball game. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's hard to believe. It seems like that game was overnight. I mean, it was, man, what a great. Yeah. And again, the Rose Bowl, such a perfect setting. It wouldn't bother me, Wes. It won't happen. But it wouldn't bother me that if every championship game in college football was at the Rose Bowl. Seriously, it's that kind of place.
There you go. Yep, I agree with you on that. Randy in South Carolina has been waiting patiently this morning. Mark, Randy, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
Fine, sir.
Yeah, I was just calling you in right here out of Florence, right here where Xavier is thinking about possibly staying on for another year. But my big thing is I'm calling about is about the people are trying to say there could be 12 teams on this college football expansion. You can't do 12 because the math don't work. So you're going to have to do either 8, 16, or 32. And I'm thinking, why don't they just do 32? Because that's what it's going to end up being anyway. Then it's going to be 16 games. It's going to give you 31 bowl games. So now the bowl games mean something. And the kids quit getting out of school and skipping out of the games. And they actually have something to play for. And the only team that's going to play a lot of games is the winner. The rest of them might even be playing less games in a year. And plus, it's getting to the name, image, and likeness. Heck, you're going to end up having to pay them anyway.
So, Randy, the 12 doesn't work for you? Is that right?
Well, you can't do 12 because, let's say, all right, 12 teams play, right? Then you got six left. Then you cut that in half again, you're to three. You're going to have to give somebody a bye at the end.
No. Randy, the 12 format that's being proposed, the top four teams in the last of the college football playoff polls would have a bye. So actually the first round would be four games, eight teams. Four winners advance to play the top four.
Yeah, teams 1, 2, 3, and 4 would get a bye. 5 would play 12, 6 would play 11, 7 would play 10, 8 would play 9. So 12 could work, but we appreciate the thinking of the out-of-the-box segment there. But 12 can work.
And all of a sudden, I have math clarity.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.